Good morning, and along with Charlie, I too want to welcome all of you here this morning, especially want to welcome anyone that's visiting with us and know you're always an honored guest here at Prairie Village. But before we start, we need to get into the mindset of what the Bible says about when we are to begin worshiping our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. First of all, we should be so thankful to be alive. And then to be able to spend another morning worshiping our Lord. We should be thankful for each and every day and never take for granted that we have lived through another night. The psalmist said in Psalm 118 and verse 24, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Let us begin by listening to David when he said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." In Psalms 122 and verse 1. If our attitude is the same as David's, then that is how we should always feel. So please put away all your worldly thoughts and worries and listen attentively, if you will, to this lesson. Brethren and friends, this morning I want to talk to you about a sin that at one time or another we all have been guilty of and maybe still are. I'm talking about the sin of prejudice, the sin of prejudice. Perhaps some of us still harbor the sin of prejudice in our hearts, and let me tell you, it will keep you out of heaven. Make no mistake about it. Prejudice is a sin. So please open your Bibles and let's spend our time this morning discussing what the Word of God has to say about the sin of prejudice. As you know, I usually always tell you not to take my word, only take the word of God, which of course is the Bible. And I believe this morning's lesson is extremely important that you follow along with your Bible. So please turn your Bibles. We'll start with Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28. Galatians 3 verse 28. The Apostle Paul said in Galatians 3 and verse 28, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ." And we can use that as our starting point this morning in overcoming prejudices. Prejudice is tragedy. It is a tragedy. It is one of the most dangerous and insidious states of mind among men today. It is a sin. It is a sin against the God of heaven. It is a sin. It is a destroyer of its victims and a hindrance to the cause of the truth, wherever it's found. Now, every person has some prejudice to some extent regarding some things. He may have a preference for some items such as food, clothing, or colors, or books, or so on. Now, these prejudices may not endanger your soul eternally speaking, or hurt your influence with others, but it could deprive you of something that you might otherwise enjoy in life. Prejudice does not always mean that an individual is wrong in his views, but it always does mean that he does not hold the views out of conviction from real evidence. Otherwise, it would not be prejudice. Come with me to Acts, the second chapter, if you would, please. Now the action and the attitude of the Pharisees, the scribes, the Sadducees, and the elders among the Jews towards Jesus is an example of prejudice and its consequences. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the elders of the Jews, how they could witness his miracles and not believe in him is amazing. They saw him walk on water. They saw him put an ear back on a man as his ear was cut off. They saw him raising the dead. They saw him healing the sick. They saw him calm the seas. But the Apostle Peter said on Pentecost in verse 22, "Jesus approved of God among you by miracles and worker and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also knew." They knew. They knew. These Jews were not convinced at the time that Jesus is here for these truths. They weren't convinced. Didn't care. His perfect life didn't prove anything to them. Why? In fact, Jesus asked the Jews, "Which of you convicted me of sin?" in John 8 and verse 46. The fact that they could not find anything wrong with Jesus didn't erase their prejudice and hardness of their hearts. Here's more proof. Here's more proof of the prejudice against Jesus. His teaching was far superior to any other teacher that they had ever heard. In Matthew 7 and verse 29, it says, "For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." Yet his superior ability to teach proved nothing to them. It proved nothing. They could care less. They were prejudiced against Jesus. People today have hardened their hearts and turned away with a deaf ear. The attitude is like one expressed and heard so many times. "Don't confuse me with the facts. My mind is made up." This is exactly the position of the prejudiced person. Such an attitude can only lead to eternal separation from God. Paul stated it very well in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. Let's look at that. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul says, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." Brethren, a prejudiced person will be separated from God eternally and punished with everlasting destruction. Scary, isn't it? Brethren and friends, it's just as wrong for me to be prejudiced towards you as it is for you to be prejudiced towards me. The love of Christ cannot abide where and when the heart is governed by prejudice. So let each of us needs to search our heart and make sure we have all the facts before we draw any conclusions and make any decisions. And when examining the various reasons why we fail to get along with one another, let me tell you, prejudice must be included. Please turn your Bible to James chapter 2, if you would. James chapter 2. James chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. The Bible says, "My brethren, do not hold your faith in our glorious Lord Jesus with an attitude of personal favoritism. For if a man comes into your assembly with a gold ring and dressed in fine clothes, and there also comes in a poor man in dirty clothes, and you pay special attention to the one who is wearing the fine clothes and say, 'You sit here in a good place,' and you say to the poor man, 'You stand over there or sit down by my footstool.' Have you not made distinction among yourselves and become judges with evil motives? Listen, my beloved brethren, did not God choose the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? Verse 6, but you have dishonored the poor man. Is it not the rich who oppress you and personally drag you into court? Do they, that's the rich, do they not blaspheme the fair name by which you have been called? If, however, you are fulfilling the royal law, according to the scripture, 'You shall love your neighbors yourselves,' you are doing well. But if you show partiality or prejudice, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors." So what is James addressing here? The phrase, "an attitude of personal favoritism," as we saw in verse 1, is translated from the one only from the word in the original language, which literally meant to take face. It is rendered partiality in verse 9. It suggests the conclusion that we draw not from the facts about a person, but out of consideration of who that person is. To illustrate this point, many times a teacher who is trying utterly to be fair and to guard against any partiality will block out the name of the student while grading papers. In this way, he assures that what was done and not who did it will determine the grade given. Turn to 1 Timothy 5, please. Chapter 5. Now, Paul wrote to Timothy these words, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 21. Paul says, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus and of His chosen angels, listen now, to maintain these principles without bias, doing nothing in a spirit of partiality or a spirit of prejudice. The word bias is rendered prejudice in the American Standard Version, and that better expresses the idea in our language today. Now, Vine's Expository Dictionary of the New Testament Words defines prejudice as prejudging, preferring one person, another being put aside by unfavorable judgment due to partiality. Webster's defines this as an irrational attitude of hostility directed against an individual, a group, a race, or their supposed characteristics. To put it simply, an attitude of personal favoritism, partiality, bias, or prejudice is prejudgment. It can manifest itself in so many ways, brethren. For instance, it can be found being based upon a person's financial status. This is the specific area by which James was writing. Is an individual poor or wealthy? It can manifest itself on the basis of appearance. I'm talking about someone who may look a little bit different. Perhaps he's scarred or maybe deformed in some way or has some unusual mannerism that sets him apart. We all have known people who may be just a little bit different in looks and in actions, and we have all heard jokes about that person. Folks can be awfully cruel. Prejudice also rears its ugly head on the basis of intellect. There is a tendency to make unwarranted judgment about people if we think they're not as intelligent or as well educated as we are. It can be found on the basis of sex. Prejudice can be found on the basis of sex. There are those who think that women are inferior to men, and there are those who think that men are inferior to women. And we see prejudice based on religion as well. Some groups hate Catholics, others hate Jews, others hate all Muslims, and on it goes. Now understand, we are to hate every false way, but not the people themselves. Prejudgment, brethren, prejudgment because of what a person believes is wrong. Obviously, prejudice is manifested on the basis of race as well. Racial prejudice is not something new. It's been around a long time, and it didn't begin with the black and white issue. Remember what the Jews thought of the Gentiles in the first century? No greater example of prejudice can be found than the prejudice that existed between the Jew and the Gentile in the time of our Lord. It has existed for some 1,500 years before. The Jews considered the Gentiles as base, unclean barbarians. Now Peter was a man who had been born in school as a Jew. He also had this Jewish prejudice against all Gentiles. In fact, his prejudice was so strong that the Holy Spirit gave Peter a direct vision, not once but three times, mind you, in order to get him to enter into the house of Cornelius, a Roman centurion of Caesarea, who was a Gentile. Now, the conclusion was so clear and so simple. Let's look at that conclusion, if you will, in Acts 10, verse 34 and 35. Here's the conclusion. Acts 10, verse 34. God is not one to show partiality, but in every nation the man who fears Him and does what is right is welcome to Him. Now turn over to chapter 11 and let's look at verse 3. So strong, brethren, was the racial prejudice of the Jews that when Peter went back to his fellow Jewish Christians, they said in Acts 11, in verse 3, "You went to the uncircumcised men and ate with them?" In their eyes, that was a terrible, terrible thing to do, to eat with the Gentiles. The Jews really did not object to Peter preaching to the Gentiles, but they objected to him eating with them. Peter described the whole event, and he went through the whole event for them and told them how he had six witnesses with him and how he had arrived at the conclusion that he did. Brethren and friends, God does not judge a man according to his race, his color, or his nationality, and Peter learned that we better not do it either. Peter had learned his lesson when he said, "God is not one to show partiality, but every nation, the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him." And Peter passed this on to us. He learned his lesson, and we need to learn ours if we have problems. I want to take this time this morning to read together these very important verses of Galatians chapter 2, beginning with verse 11, if you would. Galatians chapter 2, beginning with verse 11. The Bible says, "But when Cephas," that's Peter, "when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face, because he stood condemned. For prior to the coming of certain men from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he began to withdraw and hold himself aloof, fearing the party of the circumcision," that's the Jews. Verse 13, "And the rest of the Jews joined him in hypocrisy, with the result even Barnabas was carried away by their hypocrisy." Verse 14, "But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said it to Cephas in the presence of all, 'If you, being a Jew, live like the Gentiles and not like the Jews, how is it that you compel the Gentiles to live like Jews?'" So what's just happened here, brethren? What's happened here? Here we see that Peter had been eating with the Gentiles. Some Jewish Christians, mind you, came, and Peter withdrew himself from the Gentiles, causing other Jewish Christians to do the same thing. You begin to see the prejudice here? Remember, they were all Christians. The reason Peter did this was because he feared that some of the Jewish Christians would not accept his actions because of their prejudice against the Gentiles. Did Peter sin? Absolutely. Peter had sinned. He withdrew his company because of racial prejudice, and he was wrong. In verse 11, Paul stated that Peter was to be blamed, and he rebuked him. Paul rebuked a fellow Christian because of prejudice, a fellow apostle because of prejudice. Peter fell into sin. He fell into sin, but he was restored by the Apostle Paul. That's the problem. I mean, that's the way the gospel of Jesus Christ works. The avenue of prayer of repentance. Brethren, today, there is evidence that not all Christians have learned this lesson. Prejudice was sin then, and it's a sin now. Today we pray for the cause of Christ. We sing for the love of God, and still occasionally we hear some make comments that indicate that they view a particular race or races of people with prejudice, prejudging them on the basis of their color. And I believe that God condemns all racial prejudice. The Lord Jesus is our example, and we are to follow His footsteps, and His great sacrifice demands that all prejudice be put aside. And it's my belief that probably Jesus was dark in color, because the Jews are dark in color, and 2,000 years ago, before so much interracial, I'm sure that they were darker than some of them are now. We've been to Israel, and they are still very dark people. I want you to turn with me, if you will, to 1 Timothy chapter 2. in verse 6. Here we read, who gave himself as a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Who gave himself a ransom of who? Of who? All, everyone, to be testified in due time. The benefits of his sacrifice are all inclusive, brethren, everyone, available to anyone who will take advantage of him. Whether you're white, black, red, yellow, male, female, Jew, Gentile, everyone, everyone. Now we're all familiar with the Great Commission, Matthew the 28th chapter, I want you to come with me. And I think it behooves us to read this again. I know all of us are familiar. Matthew 28 verses 18 through 20. Jesus says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. That's everyone, brethren. That's black, white, red, yellow, male, female, Jew, Gentile. Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So what does this passage teach us? It teaches us that the gospel is to be taken to all the world, regardless of race, color, or nationality. Again, let's go to Galatians 3 and verse 26 through 28. Look at that again. Galatians 3, verse 26 through 28. Here Paul expresses the truth so well. He said in verse 26, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. That passage should erase any doubt about how God feels about prejudice, and it should make us feel good about it too. This is truly one of the marvelous things about Christianity. God doesn't care what color we are. He doesn't care what race we are. He doesn't care what nationality we are, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. And it's so wonderful to think that when men become reconciled to God, they are also reconciled to one another with no room for prejudice of any kind. Now, if I struggle with prejudice, what can I do about it? First of all, I can and I must understand that prejudice is a sin. It is a sin. Turn with me, if you will, back to James chapter 2. James chapter 2 again. James chapter 2, verse 8. If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbors thyself. Ye do well. But if you have respect of persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend one in point, he is guilty of all. What did you say, James? He says, if you have respect of persons, you commit sin. And I can also determine. To judge according to the facts and not appearance. Jesus said in John 7 and verse 24, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Righteous judgment is a decision that is based upon the teaching of God's Word. It is based upon words and deeds. Brethren and friends, respect of persons or prejudice is a sin that is learned. You're not born that way. It's a sin that is learned. Children learn it from their parents and from other children. It's also true that righteous judgment must be learned as well. Come to Romans 12, please. Romans 12. Now, Paul says, I can have a proper evaluation of myself. He wrote in verse 3 of Romans 12, for through the grace given me, I say to every man among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment as God has allotted to each measure of faith. Now come with me, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. Here we see where we see folks sometimes measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves by themselves. Paul wrote in verse 12 of 2 Corinthians 10, for we are not bold to class or compare ourselves with some of those who commend themselves, but when they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are without understanding. They're without understanding, Paul says. The verdict was that these people are not wise. They're not wise, he says. In other words, if we can see ourselves and others as we and they truly are, then we will neither unduly adore or maliciously defame anyone. I can recognize the kinship of man. Since all of us are created in the image of God and all have a common parents in Adam and Eve, we have really no reason to look down on or up at anyone. Turn to Matthew 7 and verse 12, one last passage. Matthew 7 and verse 12. Finally, I need to remember and to practice what Jesus said in Matthew 7 and verse 12. He said, therefore, however you want people to treat you, so treat them, for this is the law and the prophets. We call that the golden rule. Brethren and friends, if I desire to be treated with dignity by all, regardless of my wealth or poverty, whether I'm well known or unknown, whether I'm a member of a majority race or a minority race, whether I'm perfectly formed physically or have a defect of some kind, then I must certainly treat all others the same way. You might not know this, but in the worldwide, the white race is a minority. Brethren and friends, all of us are prone to prejudice. We all are. And the sins of gossip and slander associated with the verbal form of prejudice. Prejudice is a sin that suppresses the truth in favor of self, of me. It's a sin that is overcome by love for others and the truth. Prejudice divides, love unites. Prejudice is at the root of all division. Think about it. Prejudice is at the root of all division. So instead of separating ourselves from the truth, from one another, and from the Lord, let us separate ourselves from the sin of prejudice. And there's one more point I want to make along these lines. Our Lord taught us to keep politics out of the church. Keep politics out of the church. Brethren, if you want to split a congregation right down the middle, bring politics into the church. That will split a congregation down the middle. Believe me, I know. So keep politics to yourself while you're in the church. But you know what? On that great judgment day, the only thing that will count is your heart right with God? It won't matter what political party you belong to, or even if you belong to a political party. It won't matter what kind of car you drove here this morning. It won't matter if it was a Rolls Royce or an old junker. It won't matter what kind of a house you live in, whether it's a $25,000 house or a $25 million house. It won't matter how much money you've accumulated, whether it's $5 or $5 million. It won't matter what kind of clothes you have, whether you're in fashion or not. That won't matter. It won't matter what kind of job you've had or how far up the corporate ladder you've climbed. It won't matter. It won't matter what basketball team or what football team you root for. That won't matter at all. None of these things will amount to a hill of beans. The only thing that will matter on Judgment Day is your heart right with God? That's the only thing that will matter. Was your heart right with God? And if you're not a Christian, your heart is not right with God. But thank the Lord. You can make your heart right with God this very morning by coming forward, confessing Jesus as the Son of God, and then be baptized for the remission of your sins. Then you'll be on that road that leads to heaven. And if there's anyone here this morning who needs the prayers of the church, perhaps you've been sinned in a way others are aware of. Perhaps the sin of prejudice has got you. Take care of it this morning. Come forward. Come forward and let us pray with you and pray for you. Then you too will be on that road that leads to heaven. Please do so. Please do it now while you have a chance. Come now as we stand and as we sing.